In other news, most of Iowa got a good soaking last weekend, but it didn't go far in terms of making up for the drought. State climatologist Harry Hilliker says far northwest Iowa didn't receive any rain, while the heaviest downpours were scattered around the state.
One area is up in northeastern Iowa, say roughly New Hampton towards Decorah area, that had 3.5-4 inches of rain up there. Another area in southwestern Iowa, from about Red Oak over towards Greenfield and Winterset, also in the 3 to 4 inch range. And another area in south central southeastern Iowa, a place like Centerville, Albia, towards Oskaloosa, also had in the 3 to 4 inch range.
Here at the KJN studios, we received 1.93 inches of rain over the weekend. Statewide, on average, the weekend system dumped 1.5 inches of rain. It marked the single biggest rainfall event in Iowa since early May.
This one event over the weekend was almost as big as what we had for the whole month of September, so a good start, anyway, as far as replenishing soil moisture.
Despite the downpour, Hilliker notes we're a long way from bringing an end to the 2012 drought.
Still roughly about 8.5 inches below normal for the year to date as far as a statewide average. We did trim about an inch off the deficit we had going before this last rain event, so it's not huge, I guess, impact as far as reducing our deficit, but they will have quite a positive impact as far as soil moisture levels.
In other news, students in 9 states in the nation's capital are preparing to examine the legacy of the Dust Bowl and the current impact of drought on agriculture and global food security. The Smithsonian and the National Endowment for the Humanities are holding a national youth summit for middle and high school students on Wednesday. It will include a discussion with scholars and experts, along with segments from filmmaker Ken Burns' upcoming documentary, The Dust Bowl. The summit will be webcast from the National Museum of American History in Washington to 9 Smithsonian affiliate museums and the National Steinbeck Center. Regional town halls will be held in Nebraska, Texas, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Florida, Iowa, Oklahoma, South Dakota, and California. Educators and students can join the webcast online for free. And you can find more about that at americanhistory.si.edu/NYS. Former Iowa Department of Natural Resources Director Roger Landy says he has been questioned by state human resources investigators about comments he made to women working at the DNR. Landy, who resigned in May, denies sexual harassment had anything to do with his departure. The 75-year-old Landy was appointed by Governor Terry Branstad and served as DNR director for just 16 months. He tells the Des Moines Register that officials at the Department of Administrative Services asked him about comments he made to female subordinates. Landy says he's explained his comments and never heard back on the matter. It's unclear how the inquiry concluded. DAS Chief Operating Officer Michelle Minahan Galitely did not return a call Tuesday seeking comment. Branstad spokesman declines to comment on the matter as well. An artist from Aberdeen, South Dakota, has been selected to create a statue of a famous Iowan for display in Washington, D.C. Last year, the Iowa legislature and Governor Branstad approved the move to place the statue of 1970 Nobel Peace Prize winner Norman Borlaug in the U.S. Capitol Building's National Statuary Hall. Jeff Morgan, spokesperson for the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs, says 33-year-old Benjamin Victor was selected by a committee to create the likeness of Borlaug after reviewing resumes and proposals from 65 artists from around the world.
And Benjamin Victor will be working to create and install the statue on the 100th anniversary of Dr. Borlaug's birthday in March of 2014.
Borlaug, a native of Cresco, died in the fall of 2009 at the age of 95. Borlaug was a plant scientist who developed a new strain. Borlaug was a scientist who developed new strains of wheat. He's credited with saving up to a billion people from starvation around the world. Morgan says Victor, the artist, has developed a maquette or scale model of the statue, which features a young Borlaug writing in a notebook and standing in front of wheat plants.
The process will be to develop the clay model, and from there it will be sent to a foundry where it will be cast and then be made into bronze and then a patina applied to it, and then it will be transported to the U.S. Capitol Building in Washington for the installation.
The selection of the artist for the Borlaug statue was announced on Tuesday as the World Food Prize festivities are getting underway in Des Moines. The annual award was created by Borlaug in 1986 as a way to honor individuals who've worked to improve the quality and quantity of food around the world. Borlaug's likeness will replace the statue of a Civil War hero from Iowa that was placed in the U.S. Capitol Statuary Hall in 1903. That statue of U.S. Senator James Harlan, the one-time president of Iowa Wesleyan College in Mount Pleasant, will be moved to the Iowa Capitol in Des Moines. Each U.S. state is allowed to have statues of two notable citizens on display in the U.S. Capitol. The Borlaug statue will join a statue of Samuel Kirkwood, who served as governor of Iowa during the Civil War. The creation and installation of the Borlaug statue is being financed through a private fundraising effort. And take a look now here at your world headlines here at this hour. In the aftermath of last night's combative debate in suburban New York, President Barack Obama campaigns today in Iowa, while Mitt Romney will be in Virginia. The second debate between the two was filled with charges and countercharges that the other guy wasn't telling the truth. With less than 3 weeks until the election, Obama appears to be assured of 237 of the 270 electoral votes needed, and Romney is confident on 191. That leaves 110 electoral votes up for grabs in nine battleground states. Mitt Romney's campaign is looking to get the support of more women. The campaign has quietly begun airing a new TV ad suggesting that he thinks abortion should be an option in cases of rape or incest, or when the life of the mother is at stake. After 2 days of solid gains, stocks have opened mixed today. Dow is being pulled lower by IBM, which reports revenue for the most recent quarter that is below expectations. The government today is offering another indication that the housing recovery is getting stronger. Builders started construction on homes last month at the fastest rate since July of 2008. Denver police think a bar was set on fire to hide the slayings of the five people found inside who apparently were killed by other means. They say the fire was reported at around 2 a.m. today. The four women and one man whose bodies were found inside appear to have suffered other injuries and did not die in the fire. Police are asking anyone who was at the bar earlier to come forward as they try to piece together what happened. The European Union's Farmers Union is calling for the worst wine harvest in half a century. It says drought, cold, and hail are to blame. France's grape harvest is expected to slump by almost 20% compared to last year, with Chardonnay grapes particularly hurt by the weather. Italy's grape crop showed a 7% drop, a top of a decline in 2011. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Catherine M. Hyken, age 98, of Audubon, died Saturday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Catherine Hyken will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Robert Newton Calhoun, age 82, of Oakland, died Friday at the Avoca Nursing and Rehab Center in Avoca. A memorial service for Bob Calhoun will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Recon V Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Norma Jane Kaufman, age 82, of Altoona and formerly of Guthrie Center, died Friday at the Iowa Lutheran Hospital in Des Moines. Graveside services for Norma Jane Kaufman will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Union Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Tweak Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Kay Jewell, age 65, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Funeral services for Kay Jewell will be held Thursday at 10:30 a.m. in the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Omer Scheffler, age 99, of Harlan, died Monday in Harlan. Funeral services for Omer Scheffler will be held on Friday at 10:30 a.m. at the Bethel Baptist Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Teddy J. Weston, age 79, of Grant, died on Sunday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Funeral services for Teddy J. Weston will be held Friday, 11 a.m. at the Grant United Methodist Church. Wolf Funeral Home in Villisca in charge of the arrangements. Milda Jane Baker, age 96, of Harlan, died on Monday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Milda Jane Baker will be held Friday at 11 a.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. William Bill Anderson, age 82, of Panora, died Thursday at his summer home in Lake Panorama. Memorial services for Bill Anderson will be held Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Thomas Michael Lavelle, age 48, of Sterling, Colorado, formerly of Griswold, died Saturday at the North Colorado Medical Center in Greeley, Colorado. A memorial service for Thomas Lavelle will be held Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Griswold United Methodist Church. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Ann Creighton Sint, age 83, of Lyman, died Tuesday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Creighton Sint are currently pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. That's a look at your latest funeral announcements here on this Wednesday, along with the news, as well as October 17th. Year of 2012.